This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Pink Popcorn, the movie review show that tries to find a little bit of homo in every film. I'm Kylie Eddy.
And I'm Paul Tonta.
And this is our special Easter edition.
Yeah, Easter bunnies they're all hopping around here, aren't they?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not quite sure what makes this an Easter edition.
No.
Apart from Pete Dillon talking about lovely pastries.
The clotted cream. They went into it, the scones and the clotted cream. It's
sounds all over. Good.
I'm hungry again.
So what films will we be reviewing today, Paul?
We're getting French first off. Well, actually, Petit, which is the new François Ozon film, which is from France. And then we're going French-Canadian from Canada, Odysseys. And then, well, it's Arthur, which I don't know. Is there anything French about Arthur?
No.
No, not really at all. No. Very British.
Well, very American-British.
Oh, isn't Russell Brand in it?
Yeah, he is British. And I mean, I don't know why he's a British millionaire in America. I'm not quite sure where that... Oh, I can't quite work out where that's come from. But anyway, that's the big Hollywood blockbuster we're looking at later on in the show.
It's a remake of the Dudley Moore film from the 80s, isn't
it? It's actually almost 30 years that they've remade that.
Wow.
I mean, how ridiculous is that? Was that a film that people were crying out to have remade?
No.
Definitely not.
I don't remember it. I mean, I was a youngster back then. But he was an alcoholic, wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, well, he is in this film as well.
Oh, okay, right. Okay.
So they've kind of, they've kind of taken a little bit on Russell Brand's kind of, persona and, mixed it in with the film. But yeah, I mean, I watched the trailer of the original Arthur and I'm like, why would anyone want to go see that?
Yes, no.
It looks bad.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? But we'll talk a bit more about that later on in the show, which is good.
In the meantime, if you would like to let us know what you have seen over the Easter break, if you've managed to catch a couple of films, by all means, give us an SMS on 0427-JOY-949, or you can email on air at joy.org.au, or our very lovely program support person, Michael, is there ready to take your phone calls, 1300-JOY-949. And if you're into Facebook...
Yeah.
By all means, just search for Pink Popcorn and join us on Facebook for the continuing discussion there. Let's jump into some music, though. First up, we have We Are Performance with Let's Start. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
Petit is the new film from French director François Ozon. In 1977, and women's liberation is in the air, but Suzanne, played by Catherine Deneuve, is still the self-effacing, elegant housewife of wealthy industrialist Robert Pujol. Pujol oversees his umbrella factory with an iron fist and is equally tyrannical with his children and trophy housewife. When the workers go on strike and take Robert hostage, Suzanne steps in to manage the factory. To everyone's surprise, she proves herself a competent and assertive woman of action. Her new role throws her back in touch with union leader Gérard Depardieu, a romantic fling from the past that has still got sparks. Oh, I really love this film. I think this is so much fun. It's based on a stage play from the 70s that was a real, apparently quite groundbreaking, because it dealt with all these really serious issues about feminism and, also like a union movement, which is a side of it, but more the sexual and gender identity and the politics. It is quite fun. And in the second half of the film, there's actually the Catherine Deneuve character actually plays or gets involved in politics. So there's this whole women in politics thing, which is quite interesting as well in this film.
I mean, I love that about it. I mean, it's set in the late 70s, and really, at first, it's so hard to handle because the husband is so mean and condescending, and just, you're a woman, you can't do anything but, laze about and write poetry and look gorgeous.
and run around in that tracksuit with her hair up.
And look at, I don't know, little fawns and squirrels. Yes. The beginning's hilarious.
It's fantastic.
It's a little bit out of Snow White,
it's
obviously a take on that of this is what a housewife does. And then she just comes to the fore and is so fantastic and magnificent. And everyone loves her in the new office where she's the new boss. She turns everyone around. And of course, when the husband comes back, you know, all hell breaks loose because he's so conniving.
Yeah, he's not very nice. And they've got two children, and both of whom don't look up to the mother at all. They really do look down upon her as just duck, because Patish is the trophy housewife. That's sort of it's a very derogatory term in France. And was the children's one daughter and one son, and it really turns around when they see that she actually has got real strength and real power and real smarts. You know, she can, because it's her father's business. So when she married and the father passed away, the husband, her husband took over. So it's
really in her family business.
Exactly. It's actually really her business anyway.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's quite revolutionary. And even now, I mean, we like to go, oh, yes, this could never happen. Mm. We're so far ahead. Yet, where are the women on the boards? Yeah. Where are the female CEOs?
Yep.
Where, you know, all the rest of that. So it is still, I still think it has a lot of relevance. And
it does.
It's fantastic. There is a gay character, not that it is ever overtly said. Now, if you are very sensitive to spoilers, I suggest you avert your ears now because we're about to talk about it. But the son is, for all intents and purposes,
when you see the film, you really know it. I mean, it's nothing as explicit, but even throughout the film, because what happens is when
he has a hair flick. He has a gay hair flick.
The thing we'll talk about that, I reckon, in a sec. With the umbrellas, he's brought into
It's an umbrella company.
And he's designing them, and he's his artistic. So, like, he's the artistic son, you know? Like, and you got to go, oh, we know where this is going. But it's...
And he's got a girlfriend who you never meet and he never brings home for the family. It's this mysterious girlfriend.
It's a fantastic, she's from Canada kind of thing, you know? Yeah. But it's, it is. It's wonderful. The thing you're talking about the hair, there is one scene in this film that everybody flicks their hair. Like, it's just this magnificent... flick, you know, it's brilliant. Like,
it is the '70s, darling.
It is the '70s. I mean, the director is Francois Ozon, and he makes a film a year. He's an openly gay French filmmaker. He made Eight Women, which, you know, that was like the gayest non-gay film of all time, and, you know, Swimming Pool, and then he's made some serious films, Under the Sand, Time to Leave, but, you know, he really does. He just drenches his film in camp, and it's, you know, it's I loved it. I loved that era. I loved all the costumes, the hair. And, you know, you've got that serious message. It's just this kind of... It's
a comedy.
It
is a comedy, but it really talks about some serious
stuff. Yeah,
and
there is an
absolutely fantastic dance sequence and song sequences. Yeah. But there's a dance sequence with Jared Depardieu and Catherine Deneuve that is... I mean, you just kind of don't know what to make of it.
No.
It's so fabulous.
Yeah. Oh. It's so much fun. And the film just really, I don't know. I mean, Catherine Deneuve is amazing.
She is
one of the icons. She's one of the greatest actresses, you know, of all time. And in this, it's just made for her, this role. It is just, she's so superb. Jeremy Renier as the gay son. He's fantastic. Karen Viard. It's got some big names, some big French actors. You know, if you don't know them by name, you'd know, oh, I've seen them in it, you know, this and this and this. It's just a ripper film. I'm giving it 4 stars. I think it's fabulous.
Really? I'm going to give it 3.5 stars, though. I did immensely enjoy it. Also, we've had an SMS from Adrian, and he saw Patish on Thursday. He can't wait to hear our review. Well, that was it. And he loved it, and he said Catherine Deneuve is exquisite.
Oh, absolutely.
I have to agree.
Yes. And the gay content, I mean, Francois Ozon, you know, he's one of the top great, you know, gay directors working today. That little bit of queer content with the sun in there.
But it is super camp.
It's just super camp. Like, that's the sensibility is camp-a-rama.
Yeah.
And it's in limited release right now. So go and, you know, just stock up on your Easter eggs, get you in a sugar rush, and then go and see this and just get, you know, overloaded with pastel.
It's quite pastely and sweet. Yep. So that is Patish. Coming up, we will be talking about Arthur. And up next is Incendies, the French-Canadian film. But in the meantime, this is Cut Copy with Need You Now. You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. This is a Pink Popcorn podcast. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. That was the vaccines post-breakup sex. There's been none of that in here.
No, absolutely not. We're all still together. Incendies is the French-Canadian film that was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film. It's basically a story of twins Jean and Simon Manuel. And their mother has just passed away. And when the notary Labelle sits them down to read their mother's will, The twins are stunned to receive a pair of envelopes, one for the father they never knew and thought was dead, and another for the brother they didn't know existed. Jean immediately decides to go to the Middle East to dig into a family history of which she knows next to nothing. This is a film I actually don't want to really say anything and give really too much away, because it's a mystery. It's quite interesting because it's start like this. It's quite fascinating. These twins, you know, they're given this. You've got to give this envelope here, basically the one each to the boy. You've got to give this envelope to your brother. What? We didn't know his brother existed. And, you know, to the girl, you give it just to your father. Wait, we thought he was dead. And so, you know, they know nothing. And so we, audience, know nothing. And basically the film goes between two time periods, now or 2009, and early in the 70s, we're actually following the mother and her and her journey. And it's quite fascinating. It's a really intriguing film. Like, it really has this kind of momentum to it. There's a few different aspects of the film, but it's not giving it away. Because as soon as when I saw it with a friend last night, we were talking about it quite a lot afterwards. And then I did a lot of research as well in it. There's no... The country actually isn't named, which in one aspect you go, where are we?
Yeah, right.
But it's deliberately and
ambiguous.
Deliberately ambiguous. It's based on a stage play. It's quite interesting. Everybody, a lot of people involved in this, the actors also and the writer, they sort of, all the different nationalities, sort of from here, there, and everywhere.
Is it in French?
It's actually in French, yes. And there's a little bit of
Canadian
Arabic.
French,
yeah, which is but it's a good, yeah, they're sort of Quebec, so it's a good Canadian accent, the good French Canadian accent. And it's a little bit of Arabic as well. So, I mean, I think if a country is to be pinpointed, it would be Lebanon, because it is. There's a war that goes on in the. I mean, there's a lot of obviously wars in the Middle East, but this particular one, it's in sort of the 70s. Anyway, but I mean, the whole point really for them, the filmmakers and the playwright, it's not about where it is. It's basically just about, you know, really big issues of right and wrong and placement of where you belong in the world, and there's. There's some very large religious aspects actually to this film. The French title actually translates as fires.
Fires.
Mm.
You said it very beautifully. Not fires. You said it in French.
But there's one
that too, Paul.
There's one really amazing scene in the film where there is a fire. Like, it's quite this. It's like this pivotal moment for her, and it's about it's her really. She's Christian, but she to get. To go from A to B, she has to basically, she removes her necklace, which is a cross. And then she realizes, oh, hang on, to get out of this situation, I actually have to reveal that I'm a Christian. And then, so it's basically, you know, sort of using religion, you know, as a crux. And but again, it's really, it's not heavy in that regard. You don't really need to know too much about, you know, many instances of, you know, so religious persecution or... You know, the right,
the history,
and the wrongs,
or
the history.
Wars, or the Middle East.
It's really just his grand themes. And it's really about, you know, finding out about the mother. And it's because basically the one thing I do want to like say at the start, because it is at the start of the film, the mother does give birth to this boy. She's Christian. Her lover is Muslim. And he's killed straight away. And the child is removed. She gives birth, and the child is removed instantly from her.
Wow.
And that's where the narrative, and that's obviously with, so you're with the mother, you're going, oh, okay, so she's instantly been, her child has been taken away from her, her lover has been killed.
Wow.
And she's basically in exile. And it's just so, and that, you know, you are quite traumatized by that aspect.
And so then does that go change time period and starts the journey of the twins in the present day?
It does. It goes between the two, yeah. But the mother's story is the main story. She's the main, yeah.
This has been nominated for heaps of awards, hasn't it?
It has.
It was the Canadian nominee for Best Foreign Language
Yes, it
film
actually was nominated.
At the Oscars.
Yes, it was. Yeah, absolutely. And it won the Genie Awards, which are Canada's equivalent of the Academy Awards. It swept the pool of film, director, actress, screenplay, and what have you. It won the Adelaide Film Festival competition. I mean, it's one of the, over the last 6 months, it is one of the prestige films out there. And the director, Denis Villeneuve, he's not really done anything. Well, nothing's been released commercially. He's just in festivals. I did like the film a lot, and it definitely had this real drive to it, and you are into it.
You are drawn into it,
and it's quite beautifully done.
But it sounds like you have some reservations there.
There's a twinkling
of reservation.
Ultimately, the mystery is really, I find, far-fetched. Like the revelation, you kind of go, really?
that's not what you want.
No, and you kind of draw back and you go, But I mean, that's not to detract from a lot of the power of the film. It's interesting because with the characterization, I don't really know too much about, well, the twins especially, you don't really know anything. And that is quite of a problem. But the mother as well, it's interesting because from the start, you are thrown into this situation where she is just, you know, the child's been taken away, her lover's died, and you kind of feel sympathy for her straight away because of these instances. Mm. You don't really know her
outside of that.
Yeah, it's quite interesting in that you are just thrust on this information and go, you're supposed to feel for her because of A, B, C, and D.
But you don't know anything about
her
character.
You don't really know anything about her per se. And it does go from, like, it's very dum-da-dum-da-dum. You go from A to B to C to D. You know, she goes along all these different places. But I still think it's absolutely worthwhile. Absolutely worth seeing. Like, I really do.
What star rating are you giving
it
out of five?
3 stars.
3 out of 5. That's still a good...
It's good.
Excellent.
And there's no queer content whatsoever.
No, super straight.
Yeah, super straight.
That's okay, though. We can mix it up every now and then.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's just... I think we sort of wanted to mention it because it is one of the prestige films over the last 6 months to see.
It's important that we also review films that don't have... I mean, look, we would have a very short movie review show if we only reviewed films that have lots of gay content in them.
And we don't know if they're queer until we see them.
Yeah. I know. God, it's a tough job, isn't it? Yeah. So we're going to rock it now with Little Red. This is Pink Popcorn with Carly and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
This is Pink Popcorn with Carly and Paul on Joy 94.9. That was Vampire Weekend with Giving Up the Gun. The comedy Arthur sees Russell Brand and Helen Mirren in a remake of the 1981 classic. Arthur is an heir to a vast fortune who must choose between an arranged marriage to an affluent socialite, played by Jennifer Garner, that will ensure his lavish lifestyle, or face an uncertain future with the woman he truly loves.
I'm going to offer you an ultimatum. You're going to marry Susan Johnson, or you're cut off.
I shall get married when I fall in love.
Congratulations, you've just lost $950 million.
Actually, Susan is a very special girl, isn't she?
We should not get married.
It's a business partnership.
We don't have anything in common.
You love horses.
I don't trust them. Their shoes are permanent.
Who makes that kind of a commitment to a shoe?
Oh, look, I quite like those funny lines. That's Jennifer Garner in there who is playing his to-be fiancé.
Okay.
And, you know, FYI, I have a huge Jennifer Garner fetish. So
she's
just,
pretty ace. What was it? Alias?
The television? Alias. Yeah. Oh, stop me now. So, look, she knows how to do everything. You know, in this film, she also throws a few punches. She rides horses. She wears a little skinny, lacy corset. She has boots with, oh, God, I'm just talking about a whole.
And she's running a PhD at the same time.
Oh, yeah, she's actually, you know, she's in line to be the new CEO of the business.
Of course.
That's why, you know, she needs the name.
And she always Arthur's looks amazing. Name. And her hair and makeup is perfect, isn't it?
She is so freaking hot.
Hang on, Kylie. These people don't exist.
Jennifer Garner really exists.
Movies.
She really exists.
So who's the girlfriend that he loves?
Well, you know what? She's nobody. Oh. How can she compete with Jennifer? So, she is this. She, her name is...
Is it Greta Gerwig?
Greta Gerwig. And she's been in... I don't know.
She's a mumblecore chick, yeah.
Is that where she's come from? Well, she was in
Greenberg, wasn't she?
Greenberg.
Yep.
And she also had a role in No Strings Attached, which was the Natalie Portman rom-com. And I think she is quite fun, and I can kind of... They have cast someone who is the complete opposite of, of Jennifer Garner. She's really sweet and kind of whimsical, and that's why Arthur is attracted to her. This is really just a huge, great, big promotional piece for Russell Brand.
Right, yes.
It's a vehicle for Russell Brand, and I actually feel like he does a pretty decent job in this. He's a little bit more reserved and calmed down, even though this totally fits his persona of the good time guy with lots of girls and lots of drinking and having a, you know, just being a general lad about town.
Are you a fan of his?
I actually kind of am.
Right, okay. I'm not really.
Well, I just love the delivery of his lines. And even in the trailer, if you want to check it out, there are some lines where it's a very specific Russell Brand way of delivering a line. Mm. He just, you know, there's quite a few times where he's, you know, in the trailer he says, oh, I'm really serious. I'm going to go out and get a job and I can look after myself. And then he turns a switch on this giant remote control and it sets off in his bedroom a great big kind of universe galaxy of stars and twinkle twinkle music. Oh. And he's like, don't let that undermine what I've just said. Oh. But he does try his hardest. There is actually a bit of a serious issue that is completely manhandled. Arthur, the main character, does suffer from a drinking problem, which is kind of part of the reason why he doesn't want to give up his millions, why, you know, when he's forced into this kind of arranged marriage, he just kind of drinks himself under the table. But, you know, they do try and cure that. It's a little bit of a, at the end, it's a little bit of a, oh, he's cured his alcoholism.
Oh, that's so easy to get this. Oh, DTs? That doesn't happen.
It doesn't matter. We don't see any of that. No, don't see any of that.
Again, Jennifer Garner character, it doesn't happen in real life. In the movies, people don't get DTs. Helen Mirren.
Oh,
we love Helen Mirren. We talked about her last week. We could talk about her next week if we want to. She's in The Tempest. We should just go and see that because of Helen Mirren.
Well, you know what? Can I just say the interesting, the weird, freaky thing? Okay, two movies opened this week at the Australian box office starring Helen Mirren. The Tempest and Arthur.
Mm.
And both roles that she plays
were men
in the previous films. And both roles were played by John Gielgud. How weird is that?
Wow.
So both of these films,
the new John Gielgud.
They're remakes of other films. Wow. And the characters have been changed from men to women. And Helen Mirren has taken over.
Oh, my God. Yay.
Go, Helen.
Helen Mirren is going to take over every single male role. She's doing Hamlet next, did you know?
Is she?
Yeah, totally. Oh. It doesn't matter if Hamlet's like a 23-year-old, you know, male. She's doing it. She's a 60-year-old strong woman.
Well, anyway, if she can do it, I would almost go and see that. I'm not going to go see The Tempest.
Do you know also Russell Brand's in Hop, you know, that animated film?
Oh,
is that?
Yes.
Seriously, there's so many cross connections. It's just weird people.
And that was out last week.
Any queer content in this film?
Well, oh God, this is such a stretch, but... One of Arthur's...
An assistant? An assistant
I wish there was
the
that.
The driver is gay
or
something?
Oh, I wish there was that. That would be awesome. That would be... Oh, that would be great. No. Apart from my own lesbian fantasies with Jennifer Garner, that's all happens in my mind. I don't want to missell the film. So Arthur does have a hobby of staring outside his Manhattan loft apartment. Well, it's not a loft, it's a, you know, it's a whole floor,
yeah,
with binoculars looking down on the New York streets and kind of making fun of people. Oh, it's so funny to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
And he does find a lesbian Art and Garfunkel.
Oh.
And they do look like Art and Garfunkel, but a lesbian version holding hands. Pretty hilarious.
Right.
Stop your laughing.
Okay.
That's that's about it. I mean, that is really the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, but are we laughing at the gays or?
No. Oh, okay. No. It's just my biggest problem with this film is all the elements are there. They're great actors. The script's quite tight. It's quite funny. But I just don't really give a damn.
Yeah.
I can't empathise with a billionaire who has these problems. It's just, you know, whatever.
It's like that Somewhere movie Somewhere. It's like these things you get to feel sympathy for people who have it all.
Yeah.
You know, you need to work hard for me to feel that, people.
Yeah, I don't really feel it.
Yeah.
So, look, it's fine. It's enough to kind of distract yourself. So, I'm going to give it 2.5 stars out of 5.
And it's in general release right now.
It's everywhere. So get along to go and see that if... I don't know if we've given it such a big rap. Go and see it for the lesbian joke.
Yeah.
Up next, this is Sia with Bright Night. You're on Pink Popcorn with Carly and Paul on Joy 94.9. This is a Pink Popcorn podcast. That was Frightened Rabbit, Living in Colour.
And see what I did there, Carly?
What did you do?
Easter, rabbit. Oh.
Gee, you really put a lot of thought into this.
We go the extra mile here at Pink Popcorn. That's what we do.
The playlist is actually curated by Paul.
Oh,
the music is all your responsibility. I'm not casting. I mean, I love it. I love being able to come in and just rock out to the music, and it's been another great selection this week. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
If you'd like to see his entire playlist, we've now put that on our blog.
Yes, which I need to update.
Because we've changed it during the show.
Yes, we changed it, unfortunately, yes.
So you can actually just keep in contact with Pink Popcorn. The best way to go is go to joy.org.au/pinkpopcorn. The link to our blog, to Facebook, to Twitter. I'm actually using Twitter now as well. I feel like I'm finally wrapping my brain around it. Plus, if you've missed any of the shows, there's a link to the podcast as well. So that's all on the website. This week, the film with the largest queer content was definitely Petite.
Yes.
So go along and see that if you want something a little bit camp and gay and fun. What are we going to be reviewing next week, Pearl?
The God of Thunder.
That's not you,
Thor.
Is it?
No, unfortunately, that's not me. Thor! I don't know why I'm looking forward to seeing this film, because it's a big piece of commercial rubbish. Anyway, whatever.
We're also looking at the Indian film I Am.
Yes, a lot of queer content in that, so very exciting, actually.
That's great. So join us next week for Pink Popcorn. Thank you to Alan for panelling. Thank you for Michael for being a fantastic program support. And thank you, most of all, to you for listening in. Coming up next is a fantastic Adam Todd with Bandcamp. And the second hour of his show, he's got a guest programmer. Josh Ramming is in, and he will be spinning the tunes, so stay tuned for that coming up all on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.